Matthew chapter number 6. When you make your way to chapter 6, scroll down to verse number 25. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse number 25. As per usual, I am reading from the New King James Version, and therein the reading is this: "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Before I give you my title, let me just say this is why I generally like to plan my preaching. I like to plan my preaching, and I like to tell you where I am preaching from. That way, can't no one say I'm talking about you. Can't no one say I'm talking about you. And I love you all. I love you all. And I love those who live under the roof with me even more than I love y'all, if I'm being honest. But not even they can say. Not even they can say that I'm talking about them, because I've already told everybody where I'm coming from.
Amen.
That being said, I am not talking about you. But you may can relate. I read you Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. That is a mouthful. I'm going to be dealing with a little bit of all of that, but I only want to break down one verse, and that one verse I want to break down is the last verse we read, and that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It says, once again in the New King James Version, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." For just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach from the subject, anxiety never helps. Anxiety never helps. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is your word. We thank you for the wisdom that is your word. We've come to the preaching hour, and Lord, I pray that you would give me preaching power. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people, Lord. But Lord, most important, Lord, help us to be a blessing to you. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory, because it all belongs to you. It's this we pray, Lord, in the matchless name of the risen Lord and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anxiety never helps. For those of you who are not aware, this is the year of our Lord, 2021. And anxiety in today's day and age runs rampant. Apparently it ran rampant in Jesus' day as well, so much so that the greatest sermon that he ever preached, he had to speak on this issue of anxiety. And this was before the first century church. This was some 2,000 years ago. Fast forward down the road some 2,000 years later, and the people of God are still dealing with the same issue of anxiety. But we're not 2,000 years ago. We're 2021. We're dealing with COVID-19. In 2021, we're still dealing with COVID-19. Whether it's the Alpha variant, I think we're on the Delta right now, and Lord, I wouldn't be surprised if an Echo variant comes out here soon. So we're dealing with COVID-19. You turn on the news, or click on the internet browser, every 5 minutes, you see some young person being gunned down over something stupid. You see some middle-aged folks being gunned down over something stupid. Every now and then you see some of the more seasoned folks losing their life over something stupid. I'm not giving us an excuse to have anxiety, but it is understandable why people deal with anxiety, why people have panic attacks, and why even the people of God struggle with anxiety. And the Lord Jesus Christ had a lot to say about this issue. We bring you back to the Sermon on the Mount this morning. I've told you that this is the greatest sermon preached by the greatest preacher to ever live. By the time that we get to chapter number 6, at verse number 25 all the way down to verse 34, Jesus has dealt with a number of issues. He's dealt with the Beatitudes, in other words, telling kingdom people how to be blessed in the kingdom of God. He has talked about effective prayer and forgiveness and how it relates to effective prayer. He's talked about personal relationships and the importance of personal relationships. Jesus has covered quite a number of topics. So he is just going down block, bit by bit, talking about the things that the people of God would struggle with, or were struggling with, and continue to struggle with today. By the time we make our way to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus is talking about the issue of worrying. More pointedly, he is talking about the issue of anxiety. And I believe, I am 100% certain that Jesus talked about the issue of anxiety so that we would talk about it today. And so we're going to give it the attention that it deserves today. That moves us into our subject passage. I want to break down the one verse. And like I said, I'm going to talk about all of verses 25 through 34, but I want to just break down verse number 34. Once again, the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, the New King James Version says, Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So verse number 34, the first word that you see in verse number 34, the first word is therefore. And I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. Anytime you see the word therefore in scripture, that means pause, go back and see what it is there for. So Jesus is speaking about this issue of worry. If you were to go back up to verse number 25, therefore, once again, he says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What Jesus is saying is, he's saying, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't get overly worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. I can't speak for you, so I'll only speak for me. There have been times in my life, I'd like to think that I'm better today than I was at the previous time in my life. I would like to think that. But there were times where I would get so worked up about what was coming down the road. I didn't even know if I was going to make it through the day. Might not have even been living up to the point that I was worried about. Not to mention everything that was going on during that particular day. But I get myself so worked up, so preoccupied about what may or may not happen. I see myself not doing the things that I need to be doing during that day. Let me see if I can give you an example. This is Sunday morning. My responsibilities on this Sunday morning was to wake up. Thank God for waking me up this morning and starting on my way. I always kind of like to check on my family, so I like to roll over and see if the people who sleeps next to me is still alive. Praise God, still alive. Amen. And so that's my responsibility. My responsibilities also include getting up. And I'm one of those people, I work on the message to the last minute. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord, but I'm just telling you the truth. I work on the message till the last minute. So I have to worry about, I have to concern myself with the message, if you will. Those are the things that I have to do. I have to make my way to church, and I have to preach the word because that's what God has charged me to do. I need to be worried about those things today. Because tomorrow is too late. What God has for me, what God has for you to do today, you need to do today. You need to do today. I need to do today. Worrying about tomorrow, I may not make it up out of here today. I might drop dead in this pulpit. Concern yourself with what's important today. How many of y'all ever heard the phrase, the saying, you got to be two steps ahead, two, three steps ahead? It sounds good, but how are you going to be two or three steps ahead if you don't get the first step right? Amen. I wish somebody helped me preach. If you mess up step number one, there's no way you can get steps two and three right if you don't take care of step number one. So the most important thing that you should be worried about is the very next thing. Steps two and three, worry about steps two and three when you take care of step number one. And that's what Jesus was preaching to the people. Step number one was the verse that came before verse 34. It was verse number 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I have more to say about that, but that is what everyone ought to be doing. But we find ourselves preoccupied about what may or may not happen in the future, rather than concerning ourselves with the things that are in front of us right now. So Jesus is giving that reminder. Take care of the things that need to be taken care of at this very moment. And he ends this verse by saying, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's the one verse where I want to break down. I got 3 points I want to share with you. And God willing, I won't take too long on these, but we'll still be blessed by the message. So we're talking about the subject, anxiety never helps. Anxiety never helps. 3 points I want to get across. So if you're taking notes, write these down. If you're not taking notes, just listen intently. We're speaking on the issue of anxiety never helps. The first point is, anxiety comes from a lack of faith in God. Anxiety comes from a lack of faith in God. Let me say it this way. You get anxious because you lack faith in God. I'm not talking about you. If you don't believe me, go back to your Bible. I always help keep your Bibles open. Go back to verse number 30. Jesus speaking to the multitude. Look what Jesus says in verse number 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? In other words, the audience, the multitude that Jesus is speaking of, he is saying that they have little faith because they are concerned, or rather they lack faith that God is not able to take care of them with the things it is that they need. So much so that God, so much so that Jesus reminds them that God already knows what you need. Look at verse number 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, I already know what you need. That's what Jesus is saying, that God already knows what you need. But because you lack faith, you get anxious. I get anxious because I lack faith in what God is able to do. I lack faith in God's ability. And that's not something we want to hear, but that's just the downright truth about it. And I'm not saying about you. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. Oh, you of little faith. And here's why I read multiple versions of the Bible. And here's why I say you better hold on to that King James Bible. Even though I preach from the New King James most of the time, you better keep that King James Version, because there's some things that it does absolutely better. The King James Version says, oh ye of little faith. That means that Jesus wasn't speaking to one particular person. He was speaking to everybody. Oh ye of little faith. There's no other conclusion that a reasonable person can come to except the fact that if you are anxious on some level, on some very basic level, you lack faith in God. And that's all I can really say about that. I can't really put it any plainer than that. But obviously, for those of us who have professed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it should be our desire, at least somewhat of our desire, to grow in our faith. And the way that we grow in our faith is through the trials in our life. I'm changing. Matter of fact, just flip over to the book of James real quick. If you got your Bible open, James, and just go to the first chapter in the book of James. And I'm not going to be on this too long, because I don't want to bog you down with so many points that you lose sight of the message, but I believe this is important. And I'm flipping with you. The book of James is after Hebrews. After Hebrews and before Peter. James chapter 1, verse number 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, James, why should we count it all joy when we find ourselves in trials? That don't even make no sense. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, it's the things that you go through in your life when you take the time to pause, to smell the roses, and look back over your life and see that you're still sitting here. Whether you're 39 years old, whether you're 40 years old, whether you're 50 years old, whether you're 15 years old, you're still here. And you are here because the grace of God has carried you. So have faith in the God who has brought you from day unto day unto day up until today. And if you are here tomorrow, you will be here tomorrow, because that same Jesus that's on the throne will still be on the throne. I go on and on about the first point, but I believe the first point is made, and that is anxiety comes from a lack of faith in God. Second point, the cure for anxiety is to seek God first. Now, some of us, we like to pretend that we holy and that. I mean, this is we live in what I call a biblically illiterate age, but there are those who do go to church on a regular basis or hang out in church circles. They might can't tell you what the verse is. They might can't tell you what book is in, but they done heard something of that nature. Words of that effect, like my wife to say, words of that effect, that you are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But we kind of just say it, but we don't see that word first. Now, if you're anything like me, I don't never talk about y'all because, I ain't got no reason to talk about y'all. I can just talk about me. Now, if you're anything like me, now, I'm going to tell you something. I think I got most things figured out. Now, if it comes to building something, I know I ain't got it figured out. But anything other than putting something together, like building something, most things, I think I got them figured out. And so usually what I'll do is I'll open the book of Leonard. That's you won't find that in this one. I will open the book of Leonard and I will look back over the 39 years and 10 months of my life and pull something out the book of Leonard and apply it to the situation I got at hand. And if I'm telling you the truth, sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. A lot of times it don't. So then I'll go back to that same book of Leonard, flip to something else and say, well, this one didn't work, but I got my trusty book of Leonard, and I'll go and pull something else out and I'll apply it to the situation, and lo and behold, that don't work either. Now, you'll think I've been smartened up to the situation by now. The first thing in the book of Leonard didn't work. Second thing in the book of Leonard don't work. You know, they say three strikes and you're out. Well, I take that swing and lo and behold, I swing three strikes, you're out. I swing again, I go to the book of Leonard again. Well, the first two weren't right. This one got to be it. And that don't work it out either. It's not till I'm about at 4 or 5, I see what the Lord has to say about it. And if I'm being truthful, I like to tell y'all that I was super holy and I always liked what God got to say. I don't always like what God got to say about it. But he didn't say I was going to always like what he had to say about it. But he did say he's always right. I am to seek first the kingdom of God. You are to seek first the kingdom of God. That means to actively and aggressively pursue the kingdom of God. I want you to think for a second. I need you to put on your thinking caps this morning. Put on your thinking caps this morning. I want you to think about the last thing that you got passionate about. Usually something that you was upset about. And think about the last time you got upset and you decided to argue your point. Now, I don't even care. At this moment, I don't even care if you was right or wrong. Obviously, we should care about right and wrong. I just want you to think about the level of passion that you had about that particular issue that you was arguing. Now, that same particular issue that you was arguing, all passionately, sweating and stuff, yelling and stuff, sometimes cussing and stuff, that same passion, that same vigor, that same fire that you have, you ought to seek first the kingdom of God. And if you do that, your anxiety will go away. It will go away because you'll be so concerned about being on fire for God and having a passion for God and being fervent about God and being fervent about his word and about what he's doing in your life. You won't have time to be anxious about what's going on tomorrow. That's the cure for anxiety. Now, is that going to be easy? If I'm telling you the truth, no, it's not going to be easy. Because there's an already not yet perspective to the Christian life. And when I say already not yet, that means we already saved, but we not yet in heaven. That means we already sanctified, but we not yet so sanctified entirely. That means that things in the Christian life are progressive. We start off just like in life. We start off as infants. Newborns, infants, and then we grow into maturity. It's the same thing in the Christian life. But the problem with us Christians, most of us remain infants forever. Yeah. I wish somebody helped me preach. Yeah. I go on and on about the second point, but I believe the second point is made, and that is the cure for anxiety is to seek God first. Third point, last point. We are talking about anxiety never helps. The first point was anxiety comes from a lack of faith in God. Second point, the cure for anxiety is to seek God first. Not second, not third, first. Third point, last point. Some days we'll have trouble. Some days we'll have trouble. Go back to that one verse that we broke down, verse number 34. Verse number 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about his own things. And then look what the last part of that verse says. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Once again, we are being told truth by the Lord Jesus. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. I think I mentioned this the last time that we were together, but I'll mention it again. It's cute and it's catchy, but it's a lie from the pit of hell, and that is, you are too blessed. You are too blessed to be stressed. It's cute and it's catchy, and it's a lie from the pit of hell, because Jesus is telling you sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Once again, don't throw away that King James Version. Don't throw away that King James Version. The King James Version says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Good God Almighty, don't that drive it home. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, not the trouble, but the evil thereof. Translation, that means you will have some good days. That means you're going to have some bad days. That means you're going to have some downright terrible days. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But if you always on your internet browser, if you always watching that news on the TV, if you always in the newspaper, you will start to believe some of that foolishness that comes out in the world, such as you too blessed to be stressed. Jesus told you. He told you there will be trouble. And then we act like we're all surprised when things ain't going right in our lives. He told you that you would have trouble. But as I stated before, the same God who kept you yesterday, who kept you the day before that, he can keep you today. Some days we'll have trouble. Here's what Jesus is saying. Again, sometimes we concern ourselves about what may or may not happen tomorrow. The trouble that's right in front of you today, you might miss it. Because you're so preoccupied about what may or may not happen down the line. And this person liking you and that person not liking you. And getting this particular job or going this particular place. Worry about what's right here in front of you, because what you don't see can kill you. If you ever been in a fight before, I know some of y'all ain't never been in a fight. I don't even understand that. You know, I ain't never been in a fight. And you just the folks who ain't never been in a fight, they the baddest thing around. Boy, I mean, Lord, help us. Well, if you like me, you've been in a tussle of two or three or ten. And praise the Lord, I ain't never been jumped before. Meaning, those of y'all who don't know what jump means, that means I've never been beat up by multiple people at the same time. At least I wasn't aware of it. But if there's one thing about a fight, you don't want somebody to get the jump on you. Because it's one thing to take the blow that you see coming, but it's very hard to take the blow that you don't see coming. If someone's right in front of me, or at least I see them coming, I can either put my hands up, I can put my arm up, I can do something, I can run if I needed to. I could do something to get away from the trouble, from the evil that is coming my way at that very moment. But if I got my back turned, if I'm looking over here and looking over there, Lord help me. Because there's no defense for the blow that I don't see coming. There, in other words, here's what I'm saying, church. there is some very practical you don't have to be super spiritual to understand this. We as people, we hear the word multitasking all the time, but most of us, we're not good at multitasking. You can only do one thing. It's not to say that you can't multitask, but you could do it better if you put all your energy into it.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Rather than trying to do three and four things at the same time, and you might do all three or four of them, you might do them all right, but sometimes it's just better to just get that one thing good. And that way the other things can be better. The practical lesson here, you don't have to be overly spiritual to understand this. Jesus is saying, don't worry about tomorrow, worry about today, because the things in today is the things that might be the thing that makes you perish. But if you're preoccupied and worried about everything else, that evil that Jesus is speaking of, that trouble that Jesus is speaking of, you won't even see it coming, and it's right in front of you. Anxiety, it never helps anything. I believe all of us have been, and I'm wrapping this point up. I believe, I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I bet the whole house on that. All of us have been anxious at least one time in our life. Unfortunately, some of us have been so anxious we've had panic attacks. They pretty common. They pretty common. And I've already shared with you that it comes from a lack of faith in God. And I've already shared with you that the cure to anxiety is to seek first the kingdom of God. And that means that's not passively seeking God. That's actively, that's aggressive, that's with fervent, that's with passion seeking God. You should be so focused on God, you ain't got time to be anxious about everything else that may or may not happen. The day that we stand in right now, there might be some trouble. Jesus is trying to tell us that there might be some trouble coming down the road. I got 11:37 on my watch right now. There might be some trouble coming down the road at 11:38 that I need to be prepared for. But I'm not worried about tomorrow, July 26th. I'm going to miss the trouble that's coming at 11:38. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, or sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm gonna close this point by saying this. Stop concerning ourselves with the world and get right with God. And that's for everybody, pulpit to the door. Stop worrying about things you ain't got no control over. Stop trying to please people that someone you ain't gonna never be able to please. Some of them folks that you're trying to please and trying to do things for, they can't even do the things they want you to do. So why are you worried about it? The only one you should be trying to, the first one you should be trying to please is God. And because he know we can't please him, he gives us this thing called grace. Praise God, hallelujah, for grace. If you want to know why grace is amazing, you know why grace is amazing? Grace is amazing because God's standard is perfection, and I can never meet it. So that's why he gave me his grace. Praise God for that. I can go on and on about this third and final point, but the third and final point is made, and that is some days will have trouble. As I hastily make my way to a close, anxiety never helps. I love preaching happy messages, if you will. I don't have a problem preaching about hell. I believe that there are messages that I should preach that are happy or more praiseworthy, if you will, because some things simply are more praiseworthy than others. And then we have to talk about things that we don't like, and sometimes I do have to preach about the truth about hell. And then a lot of times, a lot of messages should be somewhere there in between. Anxiety is a rocket ship for hell. And I ain't talking about just eternity, I'm talking about hell on earth. It ain't no sense It makes no sense at all to run around here, calling yourself a child of God, worried about everything else and everybody else, and running yourself crazy to the point that you ain't got no peace. When the God of peace himself is the one who sanctifies you. It makes absolutely no sense. Anxiety never helps. Take a deep breath. Take a few deep breaths. Smell the roses. Realize that the same God who brought you through today, who brought you through yesterday, will bring you through today. He's got you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Amen. Everyone stand. Excuse me. Everyone stand. Let's close with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that we have received from on high. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. Lord, you know your people deal with anxiety. And Lord, you know that sometimes we take our eyes off the things that are most important, namely you, Lord. Lord, you give us truth, not catchy phrases that we like to hear. You give us truth that there will be trouble that we will experience. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, that we must keep our faith in God. Lord, bless this invitation. If there's someone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, may they only leave the same way they came. But Lord, for those of us who do know you, Lord, may we be strengthened in our faith. May we push forward, laying down our anxiety, Lord, and seeking first your kingdom. Lord, is this we pray, Lord, in the matchless name of the risen Lord and the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open. No need for a chair. This is not any one person's church to close or open the doors. They're always open, and they're going to be open until Jesus returns. But it is my job to give you the word and tell you the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's not your actions or inactions that will send you to heaven or hell. Rather, it is your faith in God. Rather, it is your faith in God. That is what will determine your salvation. It's the gospel that saves. It's the good news that saves. And the good news is that God knew that we needed a Savior. He sent his son Jesus to come and lay down his life for us, that we might have the right to eternal life. I didn't mention the cross, at least not directly, too much in the message. But let me tell you this. If Jesus would have been overly concerned about the things that he was dealing with at that particular moment, he would have never made it to the cross. That's right. Here's what I am telling you. We can get so lost on the things it is that we need to do, the very purpose that God put you here for, you'll miss it. And oh, what a shame if Jesus would have let the things that he was dealing with on a day in and day out basis, if he would have let that get him off his mission and never make it to the cross. All of us will be in hell or on our way to hell. We can't let that bug of anxiety bite us, because boy, I'm telling you, if it bites you, it's hard to get off. But the same Jesus that we're preaching about is the same one who is inviting you with open arms to come to him. And if you put your trust in him, you will be saved. You still gonna have hard days. You still gonna deal with some trouble. But rather than fighting for victory, you'll be fighting from the position of victory. The battle is already won. You just got to see it through to the end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much for you all's attention.